This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So again, thinking about today, Christ the King, or the reign of Christ, what does it look like for us to live in a world where Jesus Christ, our Lord, reigns over the earth? In our opening prayer, we ask that God restore all things, to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, to restore all things, that means from the foundation, there was something that was different. And this opportunity today is a time of reflection on our own practices, one might say, of how we live into the idea of Christ as our King and Lord of lords. Here in our tradition, this is the end of the church year. Next Sunday, we enter into Advent and we again start the year anew. With endings come beginnings. In our readings from Ezekiel today, we're learning a lot about sheep. And in this reign of Christ as God, of course, this is Old Testament, but the idea was still the same, that there was something about this world that was not accurate in the way that God had envisioned it. And that at that some point, God says, I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them, and I will feed them. But not just any food, God says. I will feed them with good pasture. How badly, friends, do we not need some good news to feed on in this day and age? You see, the work of seeking the lost, fetching the strayed, binding up the injured, strengthening the sick, is this idea of divine justice. That with Christ as King, there is a different way the world functions and understands everyone's role in it. That this divine virtue of justice rectifies the imbalance that exists in our world. You see, as a divine shepherd, that is God, is not just restoring the community that he's talking to here in Ezekiel from the trauma of exile, right? They've been kicked out of their land. God is not speaking to them only to restore them from the trauma of exile, but God is also creating a set of values and principles. A set of values and principles that will enhance the welfare of all who are a part of the community. And the focus in Ezekiel is on protecting the weak from the strong and powerful. God is frustrated in this reading because the shepherds have not done their due diligence to protect the sheep that they have scattered and they have been lost. And so God says, fine, I will come and I will do it myself. That old adage, if you want something done right, you better do it yourself. And when God speaks of the land, he's not necessarily talking about a geographical location. Rather, the word that they used for the land that we are translated into the land, it means like a strong footing, a good grip on things, a solid base from which to begin. How many of us have felt lost in the ups and downs of life? Seeking a strong footing, a firm foundation, to begin anew. God promises to restore people who are in great despair to a place of great strength and love. When we think about the idea of a new shepherd, how many people do we encounter that are looking for a new shepherd, for a new promise, for a new direction to follow, the opposite of what the world tells them. If it weren't true, and I don't know about you all, but I have like the streaming TV, you know, we get like the Prime Video and the Netflix. And it may be the algorithms that are playing with me, but lately there's been a lot of shows about cults. And everyone I watch, the people that become a part of these cults, these unhealthy environments, are all looking for the same thing. They're vulnerable. They are vulnerable. They are hurt. They desire community and belonging. God says, when did we stray away as shepherds to provide that community of belonging? And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. So we go from Ezekiel, where God is frustrated with the shepherds. They haven't done what he has asked, to Paul touting his praises to this church in Ephesus. I pray that you will remember me in my prayers as I remember you, and with the eyes of your hearts enlightened. This is what the light of Christ offers. With the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know what is hope. That with the eyes of our heart enlightened, we may know what is hope, and then we will put all things under Christ and make Christ head over all things. And the church, that is us as followers of Christ, the body, we are called to put all things under Christ. And then we encounter the story in Matthew, and Jesus is sharing, when the king comes, this is what the reign will look like. And he uses imagery that would have been very well known in that day and age, goats and sheep. In first century Palestine, goats and sheep would have often been in herds together. But the goats, see, the goats were willful and useful. But in contrast, the sheep were incredibly dependent. In fact, the sheep required a shepherd to show them where to graze, to bring them to the water, to protect them from other animals. The shepherds were their leaders. And while goats, too, would follow in the herd and hear the shepherd, they also had their own ideas about where to go and what to do. And when they ask, as those that are listening, and they say, Lord, when was it, he says, when was it that we saw you hungry, stranger, naked, sick, and imprisoned? And Jesus is telling them, I am not going to be here. He is setting the stage for what is to come. Jesus is saying that in the presence, when this is how you will experience me. You will experience me as Christ through the hungry, through the stranger, through the sick, through the naked, through the imprisoned. And whenever we help those people among us, Jesus says, it is there that you are helping me. So it's not so much this phrase that you might be familiar with, what would Jesus do? How many of you have heard the what would Jesus do? But rather what Jesus is putting forward for us today is, do I recognize Jesus in you? Not so much what would Jesus do, but do I recognize Jesus in you? One thing we can't get away from in this story is judgment. Now, we might hear judgment in a variety of ways, and the Christian tradition has certainly tried to explain this idea of what does judgment look like. But we can't get away from the idea that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be held accountable. We are called to be held accountable in the way we engage the world, in the way we engage the other person, in the way we seek to bring about this reign of Christ in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods, at our places of work, in the checkout line, or the traffic light. Jesus said is how we treat the least in society that God most desires to see. So when we think about this idea, this reign of Christ, I was thinking, how would I explain it to someone who is not here with us on a Sunday morning, who maybe isn't sure who this Jesus Christ is, someone who might be vulnerable and looking for a leader, some place to belong, some place where, you know, that they're going to tell you that the way the world is not how it's supposed to be. And I was reminded, and I've shared this story before, I was reminded of a moment when I was in seminary at Virginia Theological Seminary. And part of our routine at seminary is we call chapel, coffee, chapel, lunch, class. Coffee, chapel, class, lunch. We had chapel three times a day, but we were expected to go at least for morning prayer. Then they would have a noonday Eucharist and then an evening prayer. But the routine was that everybody on campus, professors, the maintenance guys, the lawn service, everybody ate lunch together. And so you never knew who you might end up sitting next to. It was one of my favorite parts about seminary, and there's a reason that it was such an important part of our experience there, is because as the Reverend Ian Markham would say, he's like, when you sit next to someone and you get to know them and you start to have a conversation, it's like rubbing off those rough edges around us, and we come out better, shinier maybe. And I remember one day at lunch, and I was late to lunch, and I sat at the table with the Reverend Allison St. Louis. And she's an affiliate faculty. And then the Reverend Ian Markham came. And I thought, ooh, how lucky am I to get some wisdom at the lunch table. Now, Allison is from Trinidad. Tall, beautiful, with a wonderful hint of an accent. A family rich with culture, so different from my own. And I forget how the conversation started, but the three of us were there, and at some point, we started talking about who are we? If someone were to ask who we were, how would we describe ourselves? And I went, and Lord, I can't tell you what I said first. Well, my name is Christy, probably something really boring. And then the Reverend Ian Markham, God love him, he had something to say. I'm sure it had something to do with, well, I'm the dean and president of the seminary. And then Allison St. Louis, she says, well, first and foremost, I am a Christian. First, I am a Christian. First, I live under the leadership and guidance and rule and reign of God and Jesus Christ. First, I am a Christian. And I think about this word, before I am a spouse or a mother, I'm a Christian. Before I'm an American or a native Floridian, I'm a Christian. Before I'm a surfer, before I'm a friend, before I'm an Episcopalian, or even a priest, I'm a follower of Christ. Before I'm a Republican, a Democrat, or non-affiliated, because they're all crazy, I'm a follower of Christ. Before I'm a Florida State Seminole, or Red Sox fan, before I'm even a college graduate or a continuing student, I am a Christian. This, my friends, is where we are called to start. When we embrace the idea that we fall under a rule and a leadership that is different from what this world offers, and all of the labels that we would love to have, and that we do embrace because they are a part of who we are, first and foremost, we are to be called to serve as a Christian. This is where we are called to start. And it's through that lens we are called to engage every other aspect of our life. And this is also where we are called to be held accountable. Because as a Christian, we are called to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to tend to the sick. And if we lead with that in mind, and we acknowledge that God's kingdom, it even says in our opening prayer, his gracious kingdom. When we lead with grace and lean into this idea that there is something more important and bigger than the world can identify in us, then this, my friends, is where we understand the reign of Christ. And so, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was about Lego. Like the little building blocks, Legos. The ones that like kill your feet when you step on them. I've always been a big fan of Lego. I still remember when I was a little kid. I've always loved Legos. And it was a great podcast. And the Lego, I could go on and on about the Lego company. I learned so much. But it's a family company, right? It's been passed on from generation to generation. And the one thing that kept them going, even in the times when their factory burned down or during World War II, when the trade routes were confused, their one goal always being, how do we get to the American market? But their recurring motto is, only the best is good enough. And anytime they would stray away, try to dabble in other types of toys, they would come back to this idea, only the best is good enough. And while God is gracious and doesn't require that we never falter, only the reign of Christ is good enough. Only our willingness to live with that understanding, under that leadership, is good enough. We are all called to be a part of another kingdom. We are all called to be a part of bringing that reality here on earth. We are all called to be held accountable when we fall short. But we're also all called to understand the grace of God. And so when we enter into the world and lead with grace, there is when we find our way. The world needs the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.